Call the House Committee on Judiciary to order April 18th, 2011, Monday. We will do better than the Senate. I think they carried 30 for 30. We're going to try to do a little better than that, but we do have a little list we're going to tell you about. Carried forward these bills, 2183, 3104.
Wait.
Hey, come on. 2183, 3104, 3324, 3533, 3259, 2648, 2461, 2650, 2693, 3186, and 3295. As of now, that's what we believe. Off for today. There may be one down here. We got an error on. If we find it, we'll try to let you know ahead of time that we might hear today. And that was the one on... I think 3533, I believe we're gonna go ahead and hear that. Excuse me. That was cleared for a hearing today. And they're all going to be carried over until tomorrow.
33. We are here.
Yes, sir.
For this one here.
Yep. Thank you.
Public hearing on House Bill 2014.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, House Bill 2014 would expand the existing requirement that any physicians, including residents and interns, who have probable cause to believe that a person coming in for medical treatment has been injured in a way consistent with abuse, report such injury immediately. This requirement would be expanded to include registered nurses.
Okay, we have Cynthia Smith, Susan King, and Heidi Limmer. Please.
This is my bill. Support this bill, please.
Go ahead, give us your name, please, and start in any order that you wish.
Good morning, or good afternoon, I think it is. Chair Krieger and Chair Barker. My name is Susan King. I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Nurses Association. By clinical practice, I'm also an emergency nurse. Just briefly introduce this bill. This bill comes out of the confusion that has existed among nursing professionals and even across our regulatory board, the Board of Nursing, related to who are mandatory reporters when there has been an assault with a weapon. A number of calls to our offices and the Board of Nursing offices by nurses seeking to clarify this is the basis for this bill. So we're bringing to you a request and a proposal that would simply add registered nurses to the list of those who are required to report assault with a weapon. Additionally, there is an amendment pending, which I don't believe you have today, which would strike medical examiner on line 13 and replace it with law enforcement. And that amendment was requested by the Attorney General's office. I'll turn it over to my colleagues to fill you in on more of the details.
I'm going to go ahead and go next. Co-chairs Barker and Krieger and members of the committee, I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to testify today.
You need to identify yourself.
Pardon me?
You need to identify yourself.
Oh, okay. My name is Heidi Linder.
Thank you.
And I'm a registered nurse. I work in an emergency department. I'm here to testify on behalf of the Oregon Nurses Association in support of House Bill 2014, which would add RNs to the assault with a weapon statute as mandatory reporters and provide the same liability protections as already is current for physicians, interns, and residents. I'm also a sexual assault nurse examiner, which you may hear referred to as a SANE nurse, and I have been a SANE since 2004. I also have a bachelor's in nursing, and I have a critical care registry and a certified emergency nurse as well. SANE nurses that are certified in the state of Oregon are required to complete 40 hours of didactic education, three sexual assault examinations. They do a ride along with law enforcement, spend time with the district attorney, and advocacy, and also were required to spend some time observing in the courtroom, preferably a sexual assault if possible. We also must be experienced nurses that are skilled in physical assessment and injury identification. Sexual assault examinations include documenting a victim's detailed report of the event and careful physical examination and collection of evidence, which can include taking photographs. It's not at all unusual that same nurses spend 4 hours or more with each sexual assault patient to adequately document the event. And same nurses actually spend more time with sexual assault victims than really any other medical discipline. And the service the same provides is very detail-oriented and must be documented accurately. Throughout this process, we become intimately familiar with what the patient has experienced. Frequently, we see patients that have been beaten and have been threatened both physically and verbally. And unfortunately, weapons can be involved in some of these assaults. And they're either injured physically or coerced into a sexual assault. Current law treats sexual assault where an injury is directly inflicted with a weapon and an assault where a weapon is used for coercion differently. Where the weapon is used to threaten or coerce, current law does not include nurses as mandatory reporters, therefore does not allow us the same liability protections similar to those offered by the physicians, residents, and interns. But yet, same nurses spend probably the most time with a victim. I was telling one of my colleagues earlier that yesterday I worked and did an assault and I was 6.5 hours with this patient. So you just never know what's going to happen with that. And I have another example of kind of what brought this to fore to me. I recently had a sexual assault victim who was raped at gunpoint and described the assault with this, the gun rubbing on the cheek, the cocking of the gun in the ear. But yet later I found that this was non-reportable under the law. And she also did not want to report this, did not want to report the rape. And she also revealed during this exam that she thought she heard them talking about how would they hide the gun and a possible murder. And I was thinking, well, how could this not be a report? But I found out later, because she was not physically injured with the gun, it was not reportable. But yet, same nurses spend most of the time with them and should be afforded the same protection under the law. And by reporting this against the patient's wishes, we could be liable for breaking the confidentiality and also have implications with HIPAA as well. And the report would have been done in good faith, not as a punitive act, but because there was a crime against the patient, and also for protection for her and those around her. And I'm also in support of changing the recipient of the mandatory report for the medical examiner, that's that amendment that Susan was talking about, to law enforcement instead of the medical examiner. I want to thank you for your time and consideration in this important legislation.
Good afternoon. My name is Cynthia Smith. I'm a doctor of nursing practice, and I currently am in private practice as an adult nurse practitioner in Eugene, Oregon. I'm here today as a representative of the Oregon Attorney General's Sexual Assault Task Force, and I have worked a number of years as a sexual assault nurse examiner. Several years ago, as chair of the Medical Forensic Committee for the Attorney General's Sexual Assault Task Force, I became familiar with the Oregon Statute 146750, which your committee is currently reviewing as part of House Bill 2014. At the time, in working with the Legislative Committee of the task force, it became apparent that there was confusion among sane nurses regarding their responsibility to report injuries caused by a weapon when responding to an assault. The language of the statute was carefully reviewed in order to better clarify the specifics of the statute, and the medical guidelines for the sane nurses were updated to accurately reflect the law. I'm here today in support of the changes to House Bill 2014 that would modify the language regarding those persons who must report an injury caused by a weapon to include registered nurses. Clearly, when it comes to acute sexual assault, Many of those exams are done by registered nurses. In fact, best practices for assault exams recommend these exams be done by nurses specially trained. On rare occasions, the victim may have an injury caused by a weapon, and it would be appropriate for the registered nurse to be among those parties that must report the injury. In addition, I'm specifically here today to recommend that while you review this statute, you also correct the language regarding to whom the report of an injury caused by a weapon is reported. When the task force examined this issue, it was noted that the statute specifies that the injury report be made to the medical examiner. In practice, this does not happen. Medical examiners primarily deal with death investigations and thus are not the most appropriate party to contact when a healthcare provider observes a patient with an injury caused by a weapon. In reality, in a medical setting, under these circumstances, law enforcement would be the more appropriate agency to contact. Correcting the language of the statute would put it in line with current medical and nursing practice. Thank you for this opportunity to testify.
Any questions, committee? Don't have the fiscal back on this bill, and if you're going to want an amendment, we probably aren't going to be able to get the amendment back. We may have to put it in on the other side, so be prepared for that. I think that there's no doubt that we'll get the bill passed out as soon as we get the fiscal. But if there are no questions, then we'll go on from there. We'll close the public hearing. Thank you for your testimony.
Then you're carrying that one over.
Okay, we'll carry over till tomorrow. Hopefully, we'll have the fiscal on it. We have two more bills that we're going to carry forward till tomorrow. HDR 34, which was at the top today, and then also on the second page would be House Bill 3594. They'll come carried over until tomorrow.
Yes.
3594?
That was the one
that
just
got. Oh, sorry.
Okay, we'll open a work session on House Bill 3204.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, House Bill 3204, which we heard for public hearing on the 14th, requires reporting by a sex offender convicted or adjudicated in Oregon who does not reside in Oregon within a specified time of beginning or changing school attendance or employment in Oregon. This is the introductory version of the bill, and it is not expected to have a fiscal or revenue impact. There are no amendments to this bill present. There's been some discussion of amendments in the other chamber.
Parker, you want to make a motion?
Sorry, no.
Mr. Co-Chair, I'd move House Bill 3204 to the floor with a due pass.
Co-Chair Barker has moved House Bill 3204 to the floor with a due pass. Any discussion? Objections? Call the roll, please.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Shoffler?
Aye.
Representative Tomei?
Aye.
Representative Wan?
Aye.
Representative Lisman?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Hicks?
Excuse.
Co-Vice Chair Garrett?
Aye.
Co-Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Co-Chair Barker?
Aye.
Bill 3204 will go to the floor to do pass, and that's Representative Thatcher's bill. Let's ask her to carry it. We're ahead of the Senate. Keep it in mind. What else would you expect? Now,
forward. 21, 21, 30. That's bills. If you want to call Bill in, we can do his. These are his, these are mine. I don't care. Next one I have would be 21, 39. The social security.
We're going to go out of sequence so the staff doesn't have to keep jumping back and forth because they're staff on different bills. We're going to go to House Bill 2139. Want a work session?
Co-chairs, members of the committee, House Bill 2139 makes modification to the requirements that exist for the receipt of a driver's license, driver permit, or identification card. Under current law, an applicant is required to actually bring documentary proof of their social security number. House Bill 2139 would modify this requirement so as the applicant merely had to provide their social security number. The reason for that being is there's now a national system that can be accessed promptly. This is, again, the introductory version of the bill. It is expected to have a minimum fiscal impact and no revenue impact. There are no amendments for adoption.
Mr. Chair, move House Bill 2139 to the floor to do pass.
Co-Chair Barker has moved House Bill 2139 to the floor to do pass. Any discussion? Objections? Call the roll.
Representative Nolan?
Bill 2694, an open work session.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, House Bill 2694 comes to us from the sheriffs. It allows the court to extend the time permitted to execute a writ of eviction upon a showing of good cause by a sheriff, allows the sheriff to require a plaintiff requesting the warrant, directing the sheriff to abate a nuisance to pay for the expenses of executing the warrant, and allows for a prevailing plaintiff to recover those fees associated with the execution of that warrant. I know that an issue raised at the public hearing by Representative Hicks was a concern about outsourcing costs to individuals who were requesting nuisance abatements. He expressed, I think, anticipation not being here today, that he was satisfied with the introductory version of the bill as to that aspect. The bill, as it stands, is projected to have no fiscal impact and no revenue impact. This is, again, the introductory version of the bill. There are no amendments for adoption.
Mr. Chair, this was explained to me that it's if a governmental entity requests this.
Is this the same bill we're talking about?
Clear to this.
I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, I didn't
understand. Am I in different bills?
694
or 694?
Yeah, this is when there was a nuisance and you called somebody up. Mm-hmm. It was mostly like if a city called a county, the sheriff, and then the city would be on the hook for paying. Is that accurate? Not if an individual calls a sheriff and says there's a big mess next door, I want it cleaned up, then I'm not on the hook, am I?
That
is that
was
accurate? Or is that a different bill?
Yeah, this that wasn't.
I just don't want to call a sheriff because my neighbor's an idiot and has a big mess and then I'm on the hook for cleaning it up. I love my neighbors, by the way.
Co-chairs Krieger and Barker, members of the committee, I'm sorry that we weren't able to accurately portray what a private nuisance was. I'm sorry, Tammy Wood. I'm here from the Linn County Sheriff's Office. A private nuisance is different than a public nuisance. A public nuisance is one that the entire community is impacted from. For example, a meth house and cleaning that up. That would be where the community, whether it's the police agency or environmental health would pay to clean that up. A private nuisance is akin to some things that were happening during the housing boom when neighbors would get close to, let's say, dairies. they could then sue the dairy for making a nuisance. In other words, unpleasant odors, smoke, dust, loud noise, that constitutes a private nuisance. If it's, there's a personal inconvenience, discomfort, or annoyance, or a depreciation in the value of your property, you can sue an individual and get a monetary damage. From there, you can ask that the sheriff go out and abate the nuisance. So, for instance, in the case of a dairy, you would tell the sheriff, go out now and make, take away this unpleasant odor because I won this suit.
Mr. Chair, I've heard enough, I understand. And I think the sheriff should just walk out to that person who moved into that neighborhood where there's been a dairy for decades and say the same thing my dairy farmer grandpa said. That's the smell of money. And if they don't like it, they can move. So I'm satisfied with this testimony. I didn't mean to drag all these people up here. I just wanted to make sure I was clear.
Do you have anything further you want to add?
Coach R. Krieger, no.
We're going to close the session on House Bill 2694, the work session, and carry it over till tomorrow. We've got a couple of questions we've got to get asked, was answered by staff. Open a work session on House Bill 3034.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, House Bill 3034 has to do with the deferral of jury service and comes to us from Representatives Olson and Schaffler. In essence, this requires that a person cannot defer jury service more than once unless the person seeks deferral due to certain enumerated reasons, requires that an employer may not require that an employee use vacation leave, sick leave, or annual leave in responding to jury duty, and must allow the employee to take leave without pay for time spent by the employee in responding to those summons. There is a dash one amendment which has been advanced by the proponents. It modifies subsection 2 of section 1. This is the section that enumerates the specific conditions that must exist to permit a second deferral. As amended, it would state that a second deferral or additional deferral may be granted for good cause, and that a person requesting the deferral must provide a list of not less than 12 dates within the 6-month period following the date of the deferral. This replaces the enumerated list that had existed prior. As amended, House Bill 3034 is expected to have no fiscal or revenue impact.
Just the one amendment, and it needs to be adopted. It's a dash one.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash ones to House Bill 3034.
Full Chair Barker moves the dash one amendments to House Bill 3034. Any objections? Amendments are in.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3034 as amended to the floor with the due pass.
Chair Barker moves House Bill 3034 as amended to the floor with the due pass. Any further discussion? Call the roll, please.
Representative Mullins, yes. Representative Olson?
Aye.
Representative Schaffler?
Aye.
Representative Tomei?
Aye.
Representative Wan?
Aye.
Representative Quisnes?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair Hicks?
Excused.
Co-Vice Chair Harris?
Aye.
Co-Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Co-Chair Barker?
Aye.
House Bill 3034 goes to the floor of the due pass. And Representative Olson, would you like to carry it?
Yep. Thank you.
And co-chairs, members of the committee, I'd ask to stand at ease for a moment for a change of counsel.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll just be at ease for a few minutes. 2942.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2942 comes to you from Representative Gelso. We adopted the Dash 1 amendments last Friday. It allows a person who has been a victim subject to an unwanted sexual contact as defined in 163.305 in the last 180 days to seek a court protective order. We have a fiscal statement on it. It says it anticipates one-time charges of about $58,000 and estimates the cost of providing the protective order should be from $30,000 to $60,000. Chairman of the committee, I don't know what the cutoff line is, but I just got to go ways and means.
We don't have amendments
reviewed. We adopted the Dash 1 amendments last Friday.
Amendments were adopted. Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2942 to Ways and Means.
Butcher Barker has moved House Bill 2942 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I clearly understand the reasoning behind this bill. I like the concept and what they're trying to do with it. The Dash ones I'm struggling with because I think it needs an extreme amount of work for having solid policy. And I mentioned that earlier, but that's how I feel, but I am willing to move it down to Ways and Means.
Okay, thank you. Anything further? All right, the bill. So we've got to have a vote on it, don't we?
Did we? We need a vote.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Chair. Did you have comments?
Yes, sir. Do you want to move it without recommendation or with recommendation?
I think with recommendation.
We pass.
Or it really doesn't make any difference, really, in reality. Mm-hmm. It's going to go down to Ways and Means, and as these things build up in piles and that number of dollars gets bigger, not much that we send down there is going to get out unless you find a way to fund it, even if it's good policy. That's the situation we're in. Want to call the roll, please?
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Representative Shoffler?
Aye.
Representative
Tomei? Aye.
Representative Wan?
Aye.
Representative Wisman? Aye. Co-Vice Chair Hicks?
Excuse?
Co-Vice Chair Garrett?
Aye.
Co-Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Co-Chair Barker?
Aye. House Bill 2942, we set down to Ways and Means. Without recommendation. Yeah, you want to go to 3285? Open a work session on House Bill 3285.
Chairman of the committee, House Bill 3285 comes in from the Judiciary Committee. On behalf of Department of Corrections, allows the Department of Corrections to charge and collect a fee for service of process and other documents. The Dash 1 amendments are before you, and they would limit that fee. They charge, the sheriff could charge for services of process. Dash 1, to dated 4/14/11, and has a positive fiscal.
Can you tell us? Sure, the staff is what it actually does with the limiting, because I don't have my amendments.
Okay, let me go to the amendments. Chair, members of the committee, it's pretty short. Page 1 of the bill, delete line 31. On page 2, delete line 1 and insert, assess and collect a fee from the inmates from funds to be credited to or received for deposit in inmate trust accounts not to exceed 5% of the amount of credit deposit to us at the cost of administering the trust fund.
We had concern about what some of those fees would add up to, and they have very limited amount of dollars. If you're talking 5%, I feel that's reasonable.
Chairman of the committee, I made a mistake. I read the staff measure summary for 3286.
So. Are you close?
I was close when I read off the amendment. The amendment.
You're so accurate and so good that you fooled us.
I fooled you. Yeah.
We were paying attention.
Yeah. So the staff, my analysis by the staff measure summary was for the next bill. My reading of the amendment was 100% accurate.
So the amendment is right.
The amendment's right.
All right. 3285. So we need to get the Dash 1s in.
That's correct.
Mr. Chair, move the Dash 1s into House Bill 3285.
Okay, Co-Chair Barker has moved the Dash 1s into House Bill 3285. Any more discussion on those? We don't take public testimony during work sessions. Okay, you want to make a motion on the whole bill?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 3285. As amended, to the floor with the due pass.
We Co-Chair Barker has moved House Bill 3285 as amended to the floor with the due pass. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, just briefly, you and I discussed this with the Department of Corrections personnel. Everybody in this economy is feeling some pain, and this is just spreading that pain a little bit more, but the guards are having to take furlough days and so on, so the people that are guarding these prisoners are taking that. We have a letter here from Mr. Husky, who's an inmate, and he makes an argument about why we shouldn't do that and the cost. He makes $28 a month as a unit orderly, and this, if it went to 5%, which it probably won't be that high, that's the maximum, would be $1.40 a month. And while that, if you're only making $28, $1.40 is maybe considered substantial, but we also shouldn't forget that we're paying on average $84 a day because of something they did wrong that they're in there for. And so I support this motion.
Okay. Anything further?
Okay, Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3285 as amended to the floor to do pass.
Okay, Co-Chair Barker has moved House Bill 3285 as amended to the floor. Any discussion? Call the roll.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative
Olson? Aye. Representative Stockley?
Aye.
Representative Wong?
Aye.
Representative Flynn?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair
Hicks?
Aye.
Co-Vice Chair
Garrett?
Aye.
Co-Chair
Krieger?
Aye.
Co-Chair Barker?
Aye.
House Bill
3285
is amended, goes to the floor with a due pass. Co-Chair Barker will carry the bill. Open a work session on House Bill 3286.
Mr. Chairman of the Committee, House Bill 3286 comes to you from the Judiciary Committee on behalf of the Department of Corrections. Allows the Department of Corrections to charge and collect a fee for services, process, and other documents. I've already read this statute personally before. You have the -1 amendments in front of you, which on line 8 of the printed bill, after the period, insert fees charged by the department may not exceed fees collected by sheriffs for service of process and civil action suits and proceedings pursuant to ORS 21.410.
Mr. Chair, move the -1 amendments into House Bill 3286.
Chair Barker has moved the -1 amendments into House Bill 3286. Any discussion on those amendments?
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3286 as amended to the floor with a due pass.
Chair Barker has moved House Bill 3286 as amended to the floor with a due pass. Any discussion?
Representative
Olson? Aye. Representative Shopper? Aye. Representative Clement? Aye. Representative Wong? Aye. Representative Lisnick?
Aye.
Co-Vice
Chair
Hicks? Excused. Co-Vice
Chair Garrett?
Aye.
Co-Chair Krieger?
Aye.
Co-Chair Barker?
Aye.
House Bill 3286 as
amended
goes to the floor with a due pass. Anyone
want to
carry it?
I'll go ahead and take that one as well. Okay. Those kind of match up.
Thank you. Okay, we'll open a public hearing on House Bill 3533.
Chairman of the Committee, House Bill 3533 will transfer the Juvenile Crime Prevention Advisory Committee from the State Commission on Children and Families to the Oregon Civil Justice Criminal Justice Commission. Chairman of the Committee, Legislative Fiscal Office has asked that this bill go to them. Believes this measure warrants a subsequent referral to the Joint Committee of Ways and Means for consideration of the measure's budgetary impact in the sense that you'd be transferring services from one agency to another, and they'd need to consider that as they went through the budget. Yeah. Yeah. Is there no one else to go, Mr. Chair, members of the committee?
Okay, I had not moved this bill the other day because I wanted to check with my lady from Coos County on this bill. She was with children, families, and she was okay with the bill, so I'm ready to move it.
We want to move it to, we're moving to revenue?
Ways and Means.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3533 to the Ways and Means Committee.
Okay, Co-Chair Barker has moved House Bill 3533 to the Ways and Means Committee. Any discussion on the bill?
Question, Mr. Chair.
Question?
So we're, if we vote yes, we're saying we support the bill? Are we supporting the movement to Ways and Means?
We're supporting the bill and moving it to Ways and Means as passed from this committee.
Thank you.
Anything further? Call the roll.
Representative Nolan.
Yes.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Representative Shockley.
Aye.
Representative Tomei.
No.
Representative Juan.
Aye.
Representative Lisman.
No.
Co-Vice Chair Gibbs.
Excuse me.
Co-Vice Chair Garrett.
Aye.
Co-Chair Krieger.
Aye.
Co-Chair Barker.
Aye.
Okay, House Bill 3533 has gone down to Ways and Means. Stand at ease for just a minute while we check and see where we are here.
183.
2142.
2142, at least until tomorrow. And that should be all of our work, I believe, today that we're going to get to. Everything else has been carried that we have not moved or that we have not yet killed. Any further business come from the committee? If not, we'll adjourn.